And welcome back to Reporter's File, everyone. My name is Saeed Puriza. These are the headlines for this program. Afghan refugees and an uncertain future. A charismatic revolutionary leader for all times. And poverty in one of the richest countries in the world. An economic crisis, the lack of development and insecurity in Afghanistan is forcing thousands to leave their home country to other countries in search of a better life. Many of them take off any chance they get, saying they have no hopes of things getting any better in their country anytime soon. Amin Alami reports.
Despite the presence of NATO and US troops in Afghanistan since 2001, the Taliban have not been eliminated and have now become a threat to the lives of Afghans. Besides the various other challenges, this one has forced tens of thousands to seek asylum in other countries for fear of their life. Saeed Zaman Tariq is working in Afghanistan's defense ministry as a media reporter. He is worried about his future. The Taliban have threatened to kill him if he does not quit his job.
As I'm working in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs as a media reporter, the Taliban has threatened me to quit my job. If I quit my job, how would I feed my family? Moreover, the Afghan government cannot guarantee our lives. Therefore, I prefer to go abroad.
Apart from insecurity coming from the Taliban as an effective factor on the rise of seeking asylum among the Afghans, joblessness and poverty remain as two more reasons for such increase. For thousands of Afghan asylum seekers, Iran and Pakistan, as the two neighboring countries of Afghanistan, are better choices to be selected for migration. That is why there are a huge population of more than 5 million Afghan refugees in these two countries.
Iran has always supported the Afghan government. Apart from the rest of our supports to Afghanistan, we have hosted millions of the Afghan refugees for more than three decades. And now there are over 2 million of them, including 320,000 school students and 25,000 university students.
Afghanistan's neighboring countries are not the final destination of Afghan asylum seekers. For most of them, Australia, Europe, Canada, and America are known as the top choices. But taking journey to the mentioned places is something like a gamble, as more than 90% of these asylum seekers travel secretly in ANSIF boats. However, hundreds die annually from starvation or drowning.
The illegal immigrants lose their lives as they cross borders. Their problems double even they cross the borders and get to foreign countries. Despite this, more and more people go abroad to find work and feed their families.
The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees officials in Afghanistan confirmed the rise of asylum seeking among Afghans, especially among the young generation, as the Europe has the largest number of Afghan asylum seekers after Iran and Pakistan.
Afghans remain one of the largest groups of asylum seekers arriving in Europe. In that respect, we have over the last year seen increasing movements into Turkey of Afghans further on. That reaches possibly into several tens of thousands. Difficult to have an exactly estimate of it.
Among Afghans, there are thousands of rich people and businessmen, interpreters who have worked with the foreign military forces or even in foreign non-governmental organizations will face joblessness as much as Afghanistan is getting closer to the withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan in 2014. In such circumstances, the only option remains for them is to seek asylum.
There are, of course, also a number of Afghans who are seeking employment, who are seeking better livelihood in one form or another. And definitely we are seeing a mixture of issues, and people are crossing the border every day.
In the meantime, Afghans blame the US and its allies for doing nothing enough for them, especially when it comes to the issue of economic growth or creation of jobs, while the country has the largest mines of copper, iron, gold, lithium, and many more natural resources, which could undoubtedly change the lives of rural Afghans during the past 11 years.
Despite the billions of dollars poured into Afghanistan to support its economy and remove the roots of terrorism, poppy cultivation and joblessness since the ouster of the Taliban regime, apart from the all other issues, most of Afghanistan's national industrial companies are still unusable because of the lack of attention of the government in Kabul and its Western supporters. As a result, thousands of people prefer to leave their country in search of a better life somewhere else. Reporting for Reporters File, Amin Alemi, Kabul.
The 1979 revolution in Iran changed the face of Islamic politics, inspiring several countries to implement Islamic rule. That revolution had a face remembered by all to date, Imam Khomeini. And now, over three decades later, in the farthest and the smallest part of the Islamic world, Kashmir, Shahana Butt reports on how the Imam continues to inspire the people living there.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, lifted the image of Muslims in the race of global politics by liberating Iran from Western influence. Today, in the 21st century, the Muslim world feels the need of one more revolutionary like him. Today, when already most of the Muslim world is controlled by West and its allies, here in Kashmir, which carries the legacy of centuries-old culture and tradition of Great Persia, continues to discuss and debate the teachings and influence of the great leader.
Imam Khomeini was a foresighted leader, having wisdom. Maybe this is why people all across the globe remember him as a peace icon who believed in the policy of justice and equal rights for all. During his time, Muslims were overpowered by Western influence, and his revolution in Iran created a huge impression for all the oppressed Muslim nations of the world.
Each year, the small Muslim-dominated Indian-controlled region holds an annual Imam Khomeini conference discussing his teachings and their prevalence in 21st century. Both Shia and Sunni, young and old, come together to attend this conference.
Today, after more than three decades of Iran's revolution and political change, Imam Khomeini is remembered as a figure who always warned Muslims about the plans of West. We here in Kashmir have done our best to maintain unity amongst Muslims. And I think Muslims across the globe must remember the goal of Islam is to attain peace and justice, which can be obtained only by standing united against those powers who want to show Muslims as down and divided community.
The scholars and think tanks discuss the role of present-day Iran in terms of global image of Muslims and their firmness in its policies towards West. Many here believe just because of a leader like Imam Khomeini, Iran today stands as an example to other Islamic countries, and its place is undeniable in the global political landscape.
Iran's revolution is a hope to all those Muslim countries who want to stand for truth and justice for all and do not believe in Western hegemony. Imam's role in that revolution is an example for all those upcoming leaders who want to liberate their countries from unjust rule of oppressors.
At a time when the Muslim world and rest of it is reshaping and changing often, think tanks here believe an inspirational leader like Imam Khomeini continues to be an enlightenment for all those who want to see one Muslim world rather than divided. Kashmir has set one of the greatest examples by following the preachings of the great leader in terms of standing united as one community. Islamic scholars believe the only thing that irritates the West is Muslim unity, and their agenda is to create fights amongst the two major blocs, Shia and Sunni. And there are many Muslim countries that support their agenda for their material gains.
What all is happening in the Muslim world today is just because some of our Muslim countries gave West and its allies a free access in their countries. And the result is today one Muslim brother is killing the other on the dictates of West. So to avoid it further, we must stand united against these forces who are trying to keep us away from each other.
Scholars also believe if his teachings and policies would be put into practice in the present scenario, anti-Islam agents will fail to divide Muslims on the basis of sects.
One of the major contributions of Imam Khomeini, besides raising the standard of Muslim politics, is the call for unity. And this message will remain prevalent for the Muslims of the world for the times to come. For the Reporter's File, Shahanabad in Indian-administered Kashmir.
British politicians are being urged to combat the scourge of food poverty after a leading charity warned that the increase in the number of families using emergency food packages hints at problems to come. The use of food banks in the UK has trebled over the past year, a worrying sign that families are being forced to choose between the most basic necessities of life in one of the most developed countries in the world. Amina Taylor reports.
London has the highest concentration of millionaires in the world. But for most of the people living in the capital, the wealth generated and spent in the UK bears no resemblance to their lives. In fact, the gap between the rich and the poor is growing at such a rate in the UK that there are thousands who cannot put food on the table. Food banks like this one in West London are seeing a rise in the number of families who are using their services.
Nationally, there has been an increase in the number of food banks opening in the UK. There's about three being launched every single week at the moment. So there's been in the last financial year, there's been a 70% rise in the number of food banks opening in the UK, but 170% rise in the number of people who've been fed by the food banks.
It would seem almost inconceivable, impossible to imagine, actually, that in one of the richest countries in the world, in Britain in 2013, there'd be need for such a service. 350,000 people turned to food banks for help in 2012. The Fiend has been running this food bank for a number of years and explains some of the reasons behind the rise in those seeking emergency food handouts.
I think rising costs is a big issue. So all of our food baskets have become that much more expensive. And those who are on a very small income or tight budget are going to be feeling it the worst. Increased gas, electricity bills, really knocking people for six.
Yeah.
And benefit cuts, benefit delays.
Who are these people?
They're mums and dads, they're single people, they're your neighbours.
The rise in people turning to food banks reflects the descent into food poverty for millions of households. The statistics are sobering. The average UK household's annual bill is forecast to rise by £357 over the next 5 years. UK expenditure on food and non-alcoholic beverages has increased by almost 20% in the past 5 years. 4 out of 5 teachers say some of their pupils are coming to school hungry. Maura McLachlan is with Oxfam, one of the UK's largest charities. Rising food poverty now means it's not just the very vulnerable in need of emergency help.
We're actually seeing people who are extremely vulnerable turning up at food banks, but I think the definition of vulnerable is changing as well. So we're seeing an increase in the number of people in work turning up at food banks. And that mirrors the national trend now, which is that the majority of children growing up in poverty are actually in working households. So work is no longer a route out of poverty. You could be in very low paid, insecure work in the UK and just be one broken boiler, for example, away from crisis.
Food poverty is not something that's usually associated with Britain,
But the brutal reality for thousands and thousands of individuals living here is that they're having to make very difficult choices about some of life's most basic provisions. How do you choose between heating your home or eating dinner? How do you choose between keeping a roof over your head or food in your belly? The coalition's austerity program has been cited as one of the reasons why families are falling into the poverty trap, with the welfare state being pared back, unemployment still above the 2 million mark, and underemployment and part-time work becoming more commonplace, finances are tight for a growing number of UK families.
What we're seeing now is that in those moments of crisis, the safety net which normally catches people is being eroded as well by cuts. So in the past, you would have been able to turn with confidence to your local authority to get a crisis loan. You're more likely now to be given a food bank voucher, which is great for feeding your family there and then, but what do you do next week? What do you do next month? And that's not a lasting solution.
Zita Holborn is an anti-cuts activist and sees the reliance on emergency food parcels as shocking in a country like the UK.
I think it's an absolute disgrace. Seventh richest country in the world, and people are living hand to mouth and having to take parcels just to survive. And actually, if you look at what those parcels provide, they provide 3 days of meals. They're not sufficient for everybody's dietary or religious requirements.
Though official figures for those who use food banks have risen, the number of families relying on help from family, friends and the state and charities to put food on the table is surely in the millions. Relying on a food bank must be a sobering affair.
I think it's demoralising, it's soul-destroying. I think people feel embarrassed having to, because they feel like they're begging going to a charity.
The food banks and the people who run the food banks do an absolutely fantastic job of making people coming in crisis feel comfortable, and they treat them in a very dignified way. But still, I think turning up at a food bank, you've reached a point where you're in crisis. You can't feed your family. It can be a deeply shameful experience for very many people.
But what can be done to reverse the tide of families too poor to put an adequate meal on the table?
Oxfam have been saying for the last year that if the government cracked down on tax avoidance, we'd have a lot more money to put into government coffers in the UK. So we wouldn't have to cut local services so hard and so fast, and we wouldn't have to be cutting the social safety net right at the very point that people need it the most. So that is an alternative. There is money sloshing around in the UK, and we should be able to access it.
For those caught in the poverty trap, any government inaction will have a real impact.
People going to turn to what? Begging on the street, crime, busking. You know, what are they going to do? And then you can understand then why people become suicidal, and why people are going to get ill. It's going to impact on their mental health. It's going to impact on their physical health. One, because they haven't got, you know, balanced meal. But the worry and the anxiety of it. And if you're a parent, it's heart-wrenching, isn't it? As a parent, the one thing you want to be able to do is to provide for your child. That's the main aim, is to ensure that your children are taken care of. They've got food, they've got clothing, they've got a roof over their head, they've got that basic security in life. And if you can't provide that, you're going to feel really awful.
For those at the front line of providing food to the needy, there's often disbelief that this level of poverty exists in the UK.
It's hard to imagine. I mean, when I am talking to people, I tell them that I regularly meet families where the children come home from school and their evening meal that night is plain bread, plain pasta, no butter. We're talking plain pasta. People get really upset. They just can't believe that's happening in the UK, that it's happening in a family that lives down the road from you.
As the austerity measures tighten and the economic crisis worsens for many, more families will undoubtedly be forced into using the services of charities just to put food on the table. For the politicians who make the decisions that have such impact, Zita has a parting shot.
Take responsibility. Open up your eyes. Become human. Have a heart and be responsible and do what's right.
Amina Taylor for Reporters File.
It's time for us to go now. Thank you so much for watching this program. We hope to see you again right here on Press TV next week.